cool him off and calm him down straight away. I know that that is Spock's view. We talked to MacArthur this morning. But Spock is under some pressure because his own man out there is beginning to try to make a record on him. And I'd like to have your understanding of this. If there is a major new change in the situation, we can always take a look at it. But the present plan is to pull these fellows out of Paulus in the next 12 hours or so, get the rest of the paratroopers down to Kamina, and then get them on back to Belgium, and not to attempt a paratroop drop on the other outlying places. But I wanted you to know that our ambassador there has strongly recommended that we undertake additional drops. This is not the Belgian view at the present time. It is not our view here. But I thought I ought not to give our ambassador categorical instructions on this without touching base with you.
Well, I think we have to consider, I agree with you. I think that they ought to tell us if they're going to have a series of these things or anticipates conceivable. Because I think when we perform these two, that they will corral some more somewhere, and we'll just have a situation that we never end. On the other hand, I assume if we get out of there, it's going to be a major operation getting back in. And the question is, do you abandon people in Houston and after you've saved them in San Antonio and Dallas? I don't know. I think we got to carefully evaluate it, because if we get out, we can't get back in, can we?
Well, we can.
That'd be pretty difficult, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it, with no Americans, and just to go in to clean up these two places we could have cleaned up before we left, wouldn't it be a little more difficult to get back in once we'd gone?
Well, that is true. We could keep taking a reading on any information we can get from other parts of the country, but one of the troubles is that the other places don't lend themselves to this same type of operation, at least as far as Americans are concerned. Any
That's
Americans
right.
Americans are left apparently out in the bush somewhere. We just don't know where they are. The Belgians are the ones who would have the primary interest in this, and Spock's their present judgment is that to try this sort of thing on further. Now,
do we have any possible, conceivable alternative of what's going to happen when we get out of there? Are we just going to sit there and wait till we have to get back in?
Well, now, the government columns are moving into this northeastern area. It'll take Van der Waal a few days to clean up the Stanleyville area, and then he's moving on to the northeast. There's another column on the ground that is supposed to move toward Bunia. They were given they're being given the trucks that they were asking for today by air, and they presumably will be ready to move. But
are we moving those trucks?
I'm not sure what transport was moving them. It's done by the transport out there before, not those that put in with the paratroopers.
But you think it's American transport?
I can't be sure of that, Mr. President. I'm trying to find out, but it could have been one or two of those C-130s that we had had out there earlier,
mm-hmm.
giving transportation to this Congolese government.
Now, what did the military men say about this?
They agreed last night that this would be the last one.
Well, you might check that, get their support. Then I would be sure that the Belgians were on town, so we don't lose the friends that we've had.
Right.
And I'd just give this one extra thought. I think we got to watch it a little bit, because we're going to be investigated and we're going to be murdered. And I'd just have Bob McNamara call Russell and say that this is his incarnation. And we've made two of them now, and we had to do it because Americans involved, and we've got to have the flag follow the men. But that these are not Americans, and get him to tell him that he can't do it. And that I think that gives you a little extra support all around the place. Just ask him for that's telling McNamara, tell him that's his judgment, and what does he feel about it. And he'll tell him that right off the bat, quick away. And then you've pretty well touched all your bases.
Mm-hmm.
I think that supports you a little bit. And then if you have to move back in, why, you can say here's a changed situation.
Jim Greenfield has been getting a wrap-up of American press reaction, and the first look at it shows that almost unanimously in support.
Well, I just hope that's right. What I read is what this country says and what that African country says and what somebody else says, and I just think you ought to be, everybody we got ought to be background instead of Maxwell Taylor telling us about what we're going to do out there in Vietnam before we even meet. I think it'd be better if you and McNamara and Greenfield and the rest of them were telling all the press that You saved many lives of Americans by daring and justified action, and you great humanitarians, and now we're moving out and we're showing that we seek to dominate no one. But that ought to be in the do-gooder's mind, the Times and the Post particularly, and because if you don't, you're going to get these Africans and the Muslims are raising hell now and saying that this is a colonialism, and you are not careful. Martin Luther King wants to be an international figure. Our FBI shows that he's getting ready to go international with the Negro thing.
You'll be interested in the New York Times this morning, in the same edition, carried an editorial saying that the government should have moved earlier, and the press should have kept their mouths shut about these operations. And then in that same edition of the paper, on the front page, they carried a story telling in advance that we were going to drop in Poland.
They do that, and then they send a letter to me and saying that Staten and McNamara don't have enough meetings with them, and that Johnson doesn't give them several days' notice, and the White House correspondents are incompetent. We have to send over and get yours, who are specialists. And I don't know. I just thought that the Scotty Restons, who comes to my meetings, and Eddie Folliard, who's Phil Grimm told me the most experienced man they had, and there's Little Onion and the rest of them, they come to my meetings. But anyway, they're starting a big press campaign now, and you ought to have Greenfield make a number of conferences you've had and try to compare them with other secretaries. I need that information. They've called, sent me a ultimatum now, head of the Editorial Association and AP and UP and all the press, to have their leaders come in and sit down and talk to me about how secretive we are, and particularly why we wouldn't let them go into Guantanamo for a day or two, and why we wouldn't let them go into Gulf of Tonkin for a day or two, and why I don't give them a week's notice before I give some news that I didn't get but an hour before, and if I didn't give it to them an hour, why they'd raise hell because I delayed it a day. And I really don't know how to please them, but I'm going to try to show them. And McNamara's seen the press more than Forrestal and anybody ahead of him, and you've seen them more and appeared on more programs and given them more backgrounders, and that your man sees them twice a day, and mine's seen them 463 times the first year, and I've seen them 60 times. And
yeah.
I just don't know how you can satisfy them, but we'll try to do it. But I think we ought to get worked that up pretty good. And if I were you, I'd try to sit down with the Times people pretty often, but I'd particularly point this out to them. And we're in a goldfish bowl, and before our planes come in, they're all told to be ready. They arrive and get your guns ready, on your mark, set, go. And they're told how to fire on them, and that the government needs improving too, but you sure do think that the press ought to have a code of ethics.
One of the problems that I've had with the top New York Times men like Scotty Restin is that they insist upon scoops. That is, they insist upon something that nobody else has. And my general approach to the press has been that I will never say to one newspaper man what I won't say to another one.
That's what I do, and you're right. You're right, and that's what they do. They're a bunch of damn blackmailers. Scotty Restin is worse than Pearson in that field. And what they've been ruined on the Cuban thing. The president, I heard him say to Mac Bundy, to tell Scotty not to write this tonight, and I'll give him an exclusive tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they have been they've been bribed before, and they are just a bunch of whores. They've been slept with, and you can't expect any virgin territory there. So
first became Secretary of State, I used to see Scotty wrestling about every 2 or 3 weeks for a long time, but when I refused to give him scoops, he quit coming to see me.
That's right. Well, I just think you just have to sit down there and say, if you give one scoop, the rest of them just raise hell, and they meetings. The first thing you do, get your best statistician to try to prove that you're as good as your previous secretaries.
Right.
To prove that your press men are better than your previous secretaries.
Right.
To prove that when you have a White House presidential announcement, that you get it to the president as soon as you can so he can immediately announce it instead of asking him to give notice and say it come back 2 days later.
Yeah.
On the Gulf of Tonkin or on Guantanamo or something else.
Right.
There's another side of that coin. They say I call them because they're incompetent people who have to cover me. Well, now, I think that's a real reflection on them, that they've got incompetent people covering the president.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an indictment of them, not of me.
Well, now, I've found that there's quite a difference between the press corps that covers you and the press corps that covers me in foreign policy matters. Those fellows that cover you just don't have the depth and background and the competence in the farm.
That's what they say, though. That's the point. And they say that that's why I ought to give them 3 days' notice before I discuss with them and make an announcement that we're shooting in the Gulf of Tonkin so that they can wake theirs up, import them, get them in, get them back from New York or their lecture tour to a Jewish bond drive, and they can cover me. They say I don't give them but 2 hours' notice. And therefore, Scotty is off speaking to the Editorial Association, and he can't be there.
Yeah.
And that the man they've got there is incompetent.
Yeah.
Well, I think the first thing they ought to do is sign competent people to the president that can report what he says.
Right.
If they don't, they ought to take his stenograph copy and report on it, because that's available to them. But their chief criticism of me, they say I have more conferences than Kennedy, that I am more accessible than any president's ever been. I'm more available, but I do not give them 2 or 3 days' notice so they can get their people that are touring the country on world problems back in to haze me.
Yeah.
And I take the position, if Reston's there and Folliard's there and there are 100 of them there, that if they can't depend on them, then at least, by God, they ought to be able to read the transcript. And it's printed to them and available to them in 15 minutes. So, but anyway, they after Tonkin and Guantanamo, their letter appeared to me yesterday, signed with AP, UP, President of the Editorial Association, all over, and it's a major problem. They're demanding to call on the president, and when they do, I'm going to say yes, we'll modify our procedures to try to do what we can to be helpful. I'm not going to fight with them. But I do want to point out that in my first year in office, Dean Rusk has had 21 press conferences, and his first year in Kennedy's office, he only had 14, or whatever it is. Or the Dulles only had 18. Do you have more than Dulles or not?
I'm not sure. I have to check the figures on that.
Well, take Herder before you came in. I wouldn't imagine he'd be having many. Just get you a good comparison.
Right.
And McNamara ought to do the same, and then you ought to conclude in submitting this memo to me that you have insisted as Secretary of State that when we had a presidential announcement, that it be made as promptly as possible.
Right.
That would not be put on the deep freeze for a day or two.
Right.
And that you had to assume that they had confidence in the people that reported it.
Yeah.
You can't indict them as being incompetent and say, I'm going to fire on these ships in the Gulf of Tonkin, but I won't announce it to 2 days until Scotty gets back from Los Angeles Israel Drive.
Right.
That makes them look ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then I think it's an indictment. I think what you say is correct. I think the people that cover you are more competent in the foreign policy field than the one cover me. But I think that's their fault, not ours.
Right.
And I think we ought to say, well, damn it, if you want to know what the president's thinking, you want to haze him, put some men over there capable of doing it.
Yeah, well, on that point, I will try to arrange that when I have background is to try to cut a few more of the White House fellows into them. This could create some problems within the organization.
They don't object to that. What they object to is that I don't cut the State Department people into mine. I don't give them enough time to get over there. That's what they want.
I see.
They don't object to that. They just say their people at the White House are not as competent as people at State and Defense.
Well, it shouldn't be that way.
They want Hanson Baldwin to handle the intricacies of the paratroop drop.
Right.
And they want to... Higginbotham, is it over to your place? What's this, John? Hightower. They want him to handle what I did in connection with the paratroop drop, when I made the decision, and what kind of shirt I had on, and how long I'd considered it, who I talked to, and what minute I did it.
Yeah.
They want the log on it. Anyway, that's the problem. And anyway.